Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Just had another very powerful weekend, this time in Germany. This revelation of I am and all that flows from it is having a mighty effect upon people. Again, many hundreds of people were being healed and really meeting with God in His power. And that's what God wants to talk to us about this morning. Because the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. Turn to Acts chapter 14. At Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went as usual into the Jewish synagogue. There they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Gentiles believed. There would have been some Gentiles who were called God-fearers, who worshipped with the Jews and would therefore be in the synagogue. But the Jews who refused to believe stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of His grace by enabling them to do miraculous signs and wonders. When you're driving along, it's good every now and again to have signs, especially when you come to a roundabout or crossroads, so you know which way to go. A sign is something that has to be seen. It's only a sign if it's seen, not just if it happens. So as they were preaching, wonders, supernatural events were seen. And these were signs or demonstrations of the presence of the kingdom and of the fact that the kingdom is not a matter of talk, but of power. So when we preach, people need to see that signs and wonders follow. But specifically here, the scripture mentions the preaching of His grace. Because, of course, in His grace, God gives, even to those who deserve nothing. Now, God has all manner of ways of giving. Some of us are getting used to having communion regularly in the mornings. It's not a Catholic thing, it's a biblical thing. The first name by which that was known was the breaking of bread. And it says in the scripture that they broke bread together every day. That's why you find in times of revival, that's really what happens. People are sharing together in the body and the blood of Jesus every day. That's just one channel of God's grace, of the way that He wants to keep giving and pouring Himself into our lives. It was the way that Jesus chose to give to His disciples just before He went to the cross, so that there would be a continual proclamation of the victory that He'd won on the cross. And what was the victory that He won on the cross? Well, it was a victory over sin. So one of the signs that follows the preaching of the word is that we must see that people are forgiven. Not just believe that somehow they are, but if people are being forgiven, it becomes obvious. They change, their attitude changes, their faces change, their body language changes. And you see a liberation coming upon people, whether you're preaching to thousands or hundreds or just to one person, you're just praying with one person, you see the evidence of what is happening on the inside. There's an external sign. It's very difficult to hide the power of God. When he touches a person with his truth and the power of his truth, then there's visible evidence that God has done something in that person. Of course, he overcame the enemy, and last week we were talking about the authority that God has given us to exercise that authority over the enemy. That's another demonstration of God's kingdom presence and power. And of course, when we do that, it's not just we believe somebody has been set free, but visibly, demonstrably, they are set free. Hello? It becomes apparent that person has just been liberated, set free by the power of God. So the enemy is overcome, and sin is overcome, and of course sickness is overcome. And it's great and very convenient for us to have words of knowledge, but people actually need to see people healed and see that they've been healed, because that's what encourages and engenders faith. When people can testify to one another of what has happened now, because we are trusting in I am now, that faith is enlarged, faith rises. You know, if people can't see what God is doing, then that just feeds the doubt of the doubters. But it's very difficult to gainsay what you see God doing. And why is God talking to us about this morning? Because he wants there to be more visible signs of his presence and of his power. Now, he's ready for that if we have the faith for that. Hello? Whether it's when you go out and witness, when you're in the detention center, or when you're, or when we're preaching in the church, or wherever, whatever context, God wants us to have the faith to see what he is doing. Whether it's one-to-one, in a group, in a crowd, whatever. Because he is the God who wants to demonstrate his presence and his power. And if we just go on in chapter 14 to verse 8, in Lystra, there sat a man crippled in his feet who was lame from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith. You see, there was a sign, not just the healing, but the first sign was that it was apparent the man had faith. Even as he was speaking, Paul could see. Amen? He could see this man has faith to be healed. And speaking from some experience, You can often do that when you're preaching. You can see. You can actually sometimes see people being healed even as you preach. You often hear of others that you don't see and you weren't aware of because you're not particularly, you know, concentrating on that. You're concentrating on saying what the Lord is giving you to say. But sometimes you can actually see and you know that person is being healed even as you're speaking. But at least what you can see is the level of faith that is rising. Sometimes in a whole congregation, but certainly among many people. You see, if God is doing real things in our lives, those things can be seen. And God actually wants them to be seen because we're witnesses. And it's much easier for people to believe what they see than simply what they hear. And if they can both hear and see, think how much more effective and powerful that is going to be. Amen? So he listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, "Stand up on your feet." At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. We could do with a few of those. Why not? Hello? Yeah. If we expect. You see, it's all up there, isn't it? See? Desire. Yes, Lord, that's what we really desire. We desire you to be glorified by the things people can see, not only by what they hear. You see, you can see love. You can see the evidence of faith. You can see the outworking of God's power. Amen? So we earnestly desire and we expect and we receive these things in our spirit even before they happen. Amen? Ever since God began that revival work in my life in 1970, I would always expect to see the evidence of what God was doing. It would never occur that God was not going to perform signs and wonders. Now, actually, the most difficult place for that to happen is in your own home church. You know, you put on a meeting or conference like I've spoken these last two weekends. People come with expectation. And what God wants to do in Kingdom Faith is not just to have two services, but for people to come with increased expectation. Not they're just going to hear from God, not just they're going to have a personal meeting with God, but they are going to see God work. They're going to see him work in their own lives. They're going to see him work in others. It is going to be demonstrable that God is among his people. Now, let me tell you, we can preach and preach and preach and preach. And the harvest, the multiplication won't happen. But as soon as people start to see things, the word will spread. There'll be harvest, there'll be multiplication, there'll be all kinds of things because people will tell of what they've seen, not of what they've heard. So you know that God is saying to us, you want to see harvest, you want to see multiplication, then you must see me at work. And people must see that it is I that's doing it. You know, he's doing it. But you see, what the scripture says, as we've just said, is that he gave to Paul and Barnabas, He gave them the power. He enabled them to see these signs and wonders through the preaching of his grace. So, you know, there's no point in me or anybody else just telling you what we have seen, because what matters is what you see. Mm-hmm. And you see these, you begin to see these things in the spirit before you see them in practice. Yeah, I see, Lord, what you want to do amongst us now. I really desire this. Why? Well, first for the glory of his name, then for the good of his kingdom, and thirdly for the welfare of his people. Remember those three principles? Lie behind everything that God wants to do. Now, if we are preaching the gospel of God's grace, faith will rise up in people to believe and to receive. Amen? Why? Because faith comes from hearing, the proclamation of the word of Christ. So, you know, it's not really us that does anything. It's God, isn't it? But he empowers us to preach, to actually release that faith, or to see that faith released in people so they become expectant. Wouldn't it be good if everybody came on Sundays expecting to see signs and wonders? Expecting to see people liberated and healed. Not just to hear orange cards that say what happened a little while ago. That's fine, that's great. I want to keep that going. But how much more effective for people to see? Now, of course, they can only see if God acts now. And it's not just, well, you know, the Lord will begin the process, or God desires to do it, or something like that. But then what has God been saying to us these past few weeks? He is, I am now. That everything is in the present. So the validity of that has got to be seen in the outworking of it in very practical ways. But we're not just talking about Sundays, you see. We're talking about wherever we go and whatever we're doing. We can expect to see God at work. So if you pray for someone, you're expecting to see a sign. It may not be healing, because not all the time you're praying for healing, but you expect to see the evidence of God doing something in that person. Amen? And actually, if we lead people to the Lord in the right way, and when I say lead to the Lord, I'm not talking just about non-believers, but I mean believers. If you lead them to the Lord in order to receive something. If you lead somebody to the Lord, I think I can honestly say I have never, ever led anybody to the Lord and seen nothing happen. And I mean seen nothing happen. Every time you lead somebody to repentance and faith, you see the evidence of what he does in that person's life. It's as obvious as that. Whether it's salvation, you see the evidence of that. If it's a release of some kind, you see the evidence. If it's healing, you see the healing. Hello? Now you see, there's a lot of preachers, leaders, pastors who opt out of this because they're afraid they won't see anything. Well, that's fear, and fear is the enemy of faith. And it's a question of whether we listen to our fears or listen to our faith. And we could say, well, you know, God doesn't always do it just there and then. That's true, but some things he does do there and then, and we need to see what he's doing there and then. And if you're witnessing to someone, especially a non-believer, then God certainly wants them to see his hand at work. Hallelujah. Turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Now, not Isaiah 40, Isaiah 53. We know this is the great prophecy about the cross. But verse 1 is the key for the rest of the chapter. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Now, what is revealed is seen. And the arm of the Lord, of course, is his power and his might. So the question is, who has believed? Because whoever believes sees the arm of God revealed, sees his power revealed. And in the modern day church today, there is much less expectation to see God at work than there was 20 years ago. Far, far less expectation. Even among the new churches, even where there's good things happening, a whole lot of other things have sort of come in and replaced that emphasis upon letting God work among his people so we see the evidence of what he's doing. God isn't pleased by a good service. He's not after nice services. He's after the arm of the Lord being revealed. And that's why he did all he did on the cross, so that the arm of the Lord would be revealed. But it's only revealed where people are exercising faith. Who has believed our message? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? So that they see the outworking of all that Jesus did on the cross. That you see people being liberated, set free from their bondage. That they're not focusing upon their need. But there is just such an evidence, such a revelation of I am among his people, the God who is present among his people, that they're rejoicing in the freedom, in the liberation, in the deliverance, in the healing that he is giving to his people. Do we have any believers here this morning? Can you see that once that begins to happen, then there will be an increased expectation? And there'll be an increased expectation amongst us on a daily basis. If somebody has something wrong, they will ask for prayer and expect to be healed there and then, now, today, because that's who he is. You see, he won't be more powerful tomorrow than he is today. So it's believing him today And it's no use holding on to a need so others feel sorry for us and we get a bit of love and sympathy, because that's not going to glorify the Lord. What is going to glorify the Lord is a demonstration of his life and power. Now, that sounds great, doesn't it?
Yes.
So what's the Lord's purpose? To do those things through you. Not just through me or Pastor Clive or those in leadership. Because Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, of course, here we have to be sensible. And that means being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You see, Paul perceived that that man had the faith. Sometimes you can be with a person or with a group of people and you can perceive that there isn't that faith. In which case, of course, your job is to first build the faith, right? Not try to see a sign and wonder when there isn't faith, because what the scripture says is, who has believed the message? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? God has chosen to work in response to the faith of his people. But of course, we can only encourage faith if we ourselves believe. We can create expectation in others if we have expectation ourselves. But if you don't have expectation yourself, how can you impart expectation to anybody else? Faith is contagious. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people have been worried about this measles spreading. Well, we need a contagion of faith in this nation. People start catching faith all over the place. Because that won't land them in the sick bed. It will take them out of the sick bed and out of all kinds of other bondage into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. Mm-hmm. Now, there is no condemnation in having a need. There is no condemnation in coming under attack. The question is, when that happens, how do we respond? How do we react? What is our mindset? Is it, well, we just accept this and we work through it? Praise Jesus, glory to God. Or do we expect divine intervention? In other words, do we pray? Because if we pray, there's divine intervention.
Right.
What are signs and wonders? Divine activity that actually supports what is proclaimed about God and his grace. It's divine demonstration. Hello? Now, we believe in a God who does things. So let him do them. Expect him to do them. He's not just a God who speaks, but he's a God who acts. Amen? There will be many times when you minister to people and you may not see all that God does at that moment. You may hear about it afterwards. Frequently that happens. You know, if I go like I have in the last couple of weeks to a situation that I go to regularly, you will often hear about miracles that happened the last time. Like, for example, the other day I heard about a baby that was born because prayed for somebody at the conference last year for whom it was impossible to get pregnant. Well, of course, you pray for somebody like that and you don't see them immediately pregnant. Who knows, something else has to happen first. But nevertheless, you see, God at that moment did whatever was necessary so that 12 months' time, they have a 2 or 3 month-old baby. What is important is you're expecting the activity of God. Hallelujah. God is good. And it's wonderful that nothing is impossible for the Lord. We believe that, don't we? But you see, Jesus also said, all things are possible to he who has faith. Why? Because our faith is in the God for whom nothing is impossible. So if our faith is in the God for whom nothing is impossible, that means nothing is impossible for us who have faith. Not that we do it, but he does it. I remember when, you know, very early when I was learning all this stuff and so many people were being healed all the time. There was one character. He was a sort of the husband of a real believer. He was someone who was, you know, some people stagger their way towards faith, don't they? Rather than jump in. He was a bit like that. But he suddenly had a healing need. And people knew that if they had a healing need, they had to come and ask. It's never for the leadership to go to them and offer to pray. They have to come and ask. That's the biblical thing. Please pray for me. You know then they're in place of faith. Well, this guy didn't come and ask. And, you know, everybody, I mean, I knew he wasn't in the place of faith where his wife and many other people were, but nevertheless, he was part of the body and he knew all the things that were going on. So one day I said to him, why haven't you asked for prayer to be healed? And his answer was this: I was afraid I'd be the first one not to be healed. Now that shows you how much healing was happening, right? But you see, the expectation of the people is if we pray, they're getting healed. Now, even though he wasn't a person of great faith, he knew that. And he was afraid that he'd be the first one not to be healed because he knew he wasn't really in that place of faith. Well, praise God, God got to work at him and on his faith, first of all. But that was an important admission because it brought his internal struggle out into the open. And once you bring things out into the open, then they can be dealt with. You understanding this? So, we don't want any thinking like that. Well, if I ask for prayer, I may not be healed. What is that going to say about me, about my faith? What are others going to think? Now, you see, if we have that kind of mindset, where is the faith? I mean, we can talk about faith and say we have faith, but what is the expectation? Does that mean that God does everything now? No, because what the scripture says is if we abide in him and his word abide in us, then he will do it. Whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. That's why the last thing is that you trust that he will work it out. Yes, we need to see the immediate things that are the signs, that are a demonstration, that are the evidence to everybody. God is at work. But there will be other things that will be worked out in other ways. And they're equally important because they're still the fulfillment of what Jesus is promising. Believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Not at some vague, indefinite time in the future, but because you believe you have received it, then I am working it out in your life. And very often he is working out more than just the particular need that we started with. Because what he's concerned about is you, not the need. Amen? He heals people rather than needs. He heals people of their needs. But his concern is for the people. He didn't die for your sicknesses. He died for those who get sick. See, he took our sicknesses because he took us to the cross. And his concern is for you as a person. And he wants you to move on in the plans and purposes of God. Now, one other thing that we have to understand with this is we can't wish our faith onto other people. And this is particularly the case when we're praying with one another as believers, as Christians. You see, God expects a believer to believe. Now, if you're praying for a non-believer, who knows a non-believer doesn't believe? This might be too deep for some of you, but I'm going to persevere and trust that you'll get the revelation. If a non-believer can't believe, then God will honor the faith of the believer as a demonstration to the non-believer of the reality of God's power and of his kingdom being present. Amen. So in a sense, it's easier to pray for non-believers because all you've got to do is believe. You're not dependent upon them believing. But when it comes to other believers, well, if you've read my book on healing and praying with faith and so on, there's this simple phrase, when believers believe, believers receive. But you see, believers don't always believe. So they don't always receive. And what does Jesus say? Well, when any two of you agree concerning anything. So we have to come to that agreement of faith. And if you're praying with a believer, God expects that believer to believe as well as you believe. That's the agreement of the two. That's all you need. You don't need 1,000 other people praying for you. You just need the two of you to believe. Amen? That's what Jesus says. There's that agreement of faith. Where you're praying for a non-believer, you're on your own with Jesus, and you're just agreeing with him. Well, that's okay. But when you're praying with others, you're still agreeing with Jesus, but the other one has to agree as well. So it is a matter, according to your faith, it will be done to you. So you see, that man that was afraid he'd be the first one not to be healed, he knew his faith was shaky. That's why he had that fear. His problem was a problem of faith, not a problem of healing. Any believers here? Anybody listening? So, we know that Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. And you've heard me say many times, the important thing is to be honest with God. That if you know you're not in a place of faith, be honest with him and tell him that. Then he'll do something about it. Yes. Say, Lord, I want you to witness faith. I want you to speak faith. I want you to speak a word that will release the faith in me that I need at this moment. And because he's the perfecter of your faith, he will do that because he wants you to believe. Because, you know, all that is not of faith is sin. He doesn't want you to stay in that place of unbelief. He wants you to be in the place of faith. So he'll do everything necessary to bring you to that place once you earnestly desire to come to that place. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. You know, people say, well, should I go to the doctor? And the answer to that is not until you've prayed first. You see, your first thought as a believer is the Lord, not the doctor. I'm not opposed to doctors. You need to go and see a doctor. I've seen doctors myself. If you need to see a doctor, you see a doctor, but you pray first. Because you're seeking first the doctor, not the surgery. You're seeking first the kingdom, not the surgery. Amen? In one of my books, there's a very vivid description of an event. It was years ago when we were living in community, and some of the children, I might say not my own children, but some of the children used to get up to some things that were, how can I put it politely, adventurous, always not wise, lacking sometimes in being sensible, and, you know, not deliberately so, but all kids can make mistakes, can't they? And some of them were melting down some, in those days they used to be lead soldiers, they were melting down this lead, I don't think on this occasion to make a bomb. Clive would know more about that than I would. But what they did was to drop. They had this sort of cauldron of molten metal. Dropped a cold piece of lead into it, and of course, sparks just erupted, and some molten lead went right into the eyes of one of the girls. There were screams. I can remember Caroline and I were sitting with the parents in the kitchen, and we heard these screams, went to see what had happened, and you could see all this molten metal around the eyes, but it was also in the eyes. And course, the mother's first reaction is, we must rush you to the doctor. And the girl, I don't know how old she was, about 11, 10, 11, something like that. And the girl said, Mummy, you know that doctors can't do anything for eyes that have molten lead in them. Just pray. Five minutes later, she was totally healed. They just cleared the molten lead away. All the pain had gone. Her vision wasn't affected. They took her to the doctor just to have everything checked out. She was fine. Now, the parents were believers. But you see, out of concern for the child, the mother's first thought is rush her to the hospital. Doctor, the girl was operating by faith. Just pray, mother. Just pray. Doctors can't do anything about this. I mean, she could have lost her sight, I suppose. But this is the outworking of faith, isn't it? But you see, the point is, the faith was there before the event. That's why God wants us to be men and women of faith. So that no matter what events take place, we respond and we react with faith. There was another incident that happened in the church here just a few years ago where, I can't remember the exact details, but one of the children was playing with another friend and there was an accident. And I think it was somebody's leg was cut open, very, very deep gash that went sort of down to the bone, blood everywhere and all kinds of stuff. You know, and of course the mother comes running to the rescue. And again, you know, this is a hospital job. And the boy who was, I think, only about 6 or 7, said, Mum, just trust Jesus, just pray. And as they prayed, the leg was healed. You know, God loves the prayers of his children, his little children. You know, just that simplicity of faith. Just pray, Mum. God will do it. Jesus will do it. Except you become as little children. I might not have got all the details quite right on that because it's a little bit vague now. But the event happened. That's the thing. And the faith was there in the child. That's the important thing. But is this the children showing the parents up? Well, possibly. But what matters is that we have that faith of little children. Because God is our Father, and what are we? I mean, Jesus called his disciples little children. Fear not, little flock. Fear not, little children. Your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. And the kingdom is not a matter of talk, but of power. So we are little kids, really, aren't we? Mm-hmm. And we just need to have that sort of trusting mentality that little kids have. Because these things, these sort of things don't happen as a result of reasoning. Uh-huh. There is just that simple trust. I mean, you're just not doing the thing that you would normally do according to reason. But I'm just mentioning these things, you see, because how important to pray first. Yes, if you need to go to the hospital, you go to the hospital. If you need a doctor, you go to the doctor. But pray first. But when you pray, believe. Hallelujah. Because God is glorified. You know, some people say to me, well, you know, I've been told that I've got to have surgery, but I prefer God to do it without needing the surgery. Well, shall I tell you something? God would prefer to do it without needing the surgery. Because God will be glorified more in the miracle than in the surgery. Oh, I'm not against surgery. If surgery is necessary, that's fine. I've had surgery myself. And been at peace that that was the way that God was going to work in that particular situation. That's no problem. But let me tell you, I prayed first. And when I prayed, I believed and trusted the whole situation and myself into God's hands. So, as I say, you see, sometimes you get the answer now. You see the miraculous manifestation of what God is doing supernaturally. But in any case, you're going to get the answer if you're a believer. God's answer is never no. Hello? It's not a question of whether he would do it. It's the only question is how he will do it. Yes? If surgery is necessary, fine. Some things can be sorted out just like that, and praise God. You know, when I was seeing all this healing taking place, God had healed me years ago from needing glasses in a quite remarkable way, but I won't go into that because you don't like stories. But but anyway, he did that. But then, you know, you get a little bit older, and I was doing a lot of writing books as well as preaching, and you begin to need glasses. And this was a problem for me because there I was, standing on the platform and praying for people and seeing all these miracles happen and all the rest of it. And now people are going to see me wear glasses. And God had healed me before, so come on, Lord. So I started praying, Lord, please heal my eyes. And the Lord said to me, what do you mean? What would you consider to be the healing of your eyes? So I said, well, Lord, so that I could see clearly without any strain. So he said to me, well, go and get a pair of glasses and you will see clearly without any strain. I said, but Lord, what about, you know, all these people being healed and they see me wearing glasses? He said, then they'll know the healing comes from me and not from you. Listen, you'll never win an argument with God. He's got an answer for absolutely everything. You see, was I really concerned about that or was it my pride? I didn't want to be seen with glasses. No, that can't be the case, surely. Sometimes we can't determine the motives of our own hearts, can we? Are we getting this? And then God said to me, look, I want you to exercise your faith for all my kingdom purposes. I don't want you to be praying every day for the healing of your eyes because that becomes so important to you. Just forget that and get on with my kingdom purposes. Hallelujah. So, praise God, I've worn glasses ever since. But that doesn't mean that he couldn't one day. Now, one of the scriptures is also in Isaiah that God often speaks to us, is enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, do not hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, and you will spread out to the right, to the left, and all the rest of it. Why? Because of faith. What will enable all that faith? Why? Because all God's purposes are by faith. And you see, we've got to see that, desire it, expect it, receive it, trust the Lord to outwork it. But what God is talking to us about this morning is part of that whole process. That what people will see is what's happening now. And when they see what's happening now, there will be the expansion. Expansion won't come about through planning. You know, it won't come about through group dynamics or leadership principles or anything like that. All that has its place. But the actual expansion of the work of God can only be done by God. And so the greater freedom we give him to move and to work, the more we will see the expansion take place. Amen. So there's plenty of opportunity now. It's good that there's two services, not too many people present, so that at each service people can see what God does. And the important thing is that as faith builds up over these coming weeks, that they will be the ones through whom these things happen. But that's a few weeks down the road. What God is concerned about today is today. Amen? He is here now? The Almighty One who created the universe? The One who raised the dead? The One who healed the sick? The one who said, who has believed our message, to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed, he's the one who is in the midst of us. So you're ready to give it a go. Because you see, nothing happens till you give it a go. You can think about it, talk about it, study about it, pray about it, but nothing happens till you give it a go. Amen? I always remembered, some of you, the older ones, would remember John Wimber, who was a great man of God, who was around, I suppose, 15, 20 years ago in the height of his ministry. But I remember him giving his testimony that how he really got into things of the Spirit and into healing was, he said, well, it's in the Word of God. The command is to heal the sick. So he said to his church in those days, we're going to pray for the sick. So every Sunday, they prayed for the sick. They prayed for all the sick in their church. And his testimony was, it was either 9 or 10 months before they saw anybody healed. And, you know, the people are getting discouraged and they say, look, this isn't working, Johnny says. It's the word of God, it has to work. And they persevered, and of course, once the first person was healed, that was it. And the whole church expanded, became a church of thousands. But you see, he persevered because he held fast to the word of God, to the promise of God. I count myself blessed because the first person I prayed with got healed of cancer. So, you know, that was the mercy, the grace, and the wonderful love of God. I thank him that I didn't have to go for years and years or months and months praying for one after another and nothing happened. But God does different things in different ways in different people. But the important thing is that he persevered. He didn't just give it a go. He was determined. He was determined to see the word of God being outworked. Are you determined to see the word of God in your life, not just in Kingdom Faith, but in your life, in your witness? Mm-hmm. Because you see, I think the likelihood is that when you go and do your stuff tomorrow, many of you are going to be confronted with a sick person to heal in his name. And you won't dare to back off. Because you will live with such a sense of failure and condemnation if you do. I mean, it's false condemnation, but nevertheless, you'll suffer from it. Because you'll know, I should have prayed. Oh, Lord, why didn't I pray? Because you didn't believe, you didn't trust me. See, we're always afraid we're looking idiots if nothing happens. Well, faith is like that. You would look like an idiot if nothing happened, but if you trust God, something will happen. Because you're not all John Wimber. Hallelujah. But even if you didn't see the first person healed, you would keep praying until you see, until God has worked that faith in you that enables you to see the answers. Okay, one last thing. Now, of course, when you pray, you're not praying for people, you're healing them. Remember, there's a difference, isn't there? You are imparting healing to them. You're not praying for them, you're not asking God to do something. In his name, you're imparting to them. You're just a channel of God's grace. That's why he was confirming the gospel of his grace, of his giving. It's like you saying, here it is, receive it. One of the reasons why when so many people pray they don't see results is they don't expect to impart. And so they pray long prayers. Jesus said, you are not going to be heard for your many words. You see, how long did it take, how many words did it take Jesus to heal? Get up and walk, that's not many. Be open, that's only two. It's only one in the Greek. So, doesn't take many words. Just takes the faith, the authority, the expectation. Why do we pray long prayers? Because we don't believe that a few words would do the job. Can you see? It's all ultimately a matter of faith. It really is. All that we need is, if we're praying for a non-believer, you've just got that witness of the Spirit. Pray now. Listen to the Spirit. When you're praying for non-believers, listen to the Spirit because he'll get you to pray in the most unlikely situations. Some of you will have heard me say I was asked to go and pray for the father of somebody in the church who was seriously, he was not a believer. He was one of these people that really had a deep hatred of God and of clergy in particular. But this man had a very weak heart. He had gallstones, and an immediate operation was necessary, but they knew they couldn't operate because his heart wouldn't be able to stand it. So it was one of those rock and a hard place. And so the son asked me to go and visit him, which I did. And I sat by his bed, and for a whole hour, and I'm not exaggerating, for a whole hour, non-stop, without me being able to get a word in, he told me how he hated God and why he hated God and how he hated ministers, clergy, the people of God, and he hated everything about the church. And it was just vitriolic hatred for a whole hour. I just sat there and listened to this. And I prayed, Lord, what am I to say in response to all of this? And the Lord just said to me, heal him. Now, you cannot imagine a less likely situation for healing. You really can't. So when finally he stopped to draw breath, I said to him, I see you don't believe. But I do. And I believe God wants to heal you. Would you let me pray for you? You know, tears came to his eyes. I don't think he could really believe that somebody could express such hatred and get such a response of love back. So he sort of mumbled, well, you can if you want to. No sort of expectation or anything. So I prayed for him and left. I went back 3 or 4 days later. And it was a bit embarrassing because in those days they had big open wards, you know. And as I walked in, there was this group of doctors, medical students and so on, all around this man's bed. And he happened to see me. There must have been a gap in the people there, because he saw me come in and he shouted at the top of his voice, I'm a fraud and they won't let me go home. So I went up to him. It was a bit embarrassing with all the medical staff there, you know. And I said, what do you mean you're a fraud? He said, they can't find anything wrong with me. And they won't let me go home. And it turned out that they wanted to perhaps do surgery and search for these gallstones. What has happened? They could see his heart was all right now. But they came to the conclusion, well, they don't need to, so they released him. You know, I don't know if that man ever came to the Lord. He didn't come to the Lord then, I know that. But you see, God did honor the faith of the son. I'm sure he probably subsequently did come to the Lord, but I lost touch with him. But you see, don't just go by the circumstances. Listen to what the Lord is saying. And in the most unlikely situations, God can say, well, heal him. He didn't say pray for him, he said heal him. Heal him. That's the authority we've got. Heal the sick. Come on, let's stand. Hallelujah. Are you ready for a bit of divine practice? Come on, let's just close our eyes, focus on the Lord. Praise him. Come on, Jesus. 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 Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Pura la bazata bari alera bakala zito di sato. Bopara zata bari alera bakala zato bakala zito di sandoma. Bopara zata bari alera bakala zito di sandoma. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. We bless you. Come on, let's really exalt the Lord. The healer of mankind. Ora sata para la bazata para sita baranduma. O papara zata paria leta bakala zata bakala zita. O papara zata paria leta bakala zita. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Yes. Porala bazata bakarazito balatuba. Yes, 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 yes. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We exalt you, Jesus. We glorify your wonderful name. How great and mighty, wonderful, holy. Oh, what a great, 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 great God you are. Hallelujah, Jesus. We praise you. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you, Lord. Parata parazata bakalazito. Yes. Parala bazata parialera bakalazito. Parala bazata parialera bakalazito. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Master. Porala bazata baria letta. Come on, stir up the gift that is within you. Stir up the gift that is within you. Hallelujah. Come on, you have the gift of the Holy Spirit within you. Stir up that gift. Stir up that gift. Parazata parazata baria letuba. Oh, stir it up, stir it up, stir up that gift. Pora la bazata baria letuba. Thank the Lord that you're a man or woman of faith. Come on, you're not a man or woman of unbelief. You're a man or woman of faith. Hallelujah. Sata para la bazata bai. Come on now. Come on now, come on now. Porata para zata baratiba. Nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is impossible. By trust in the Lord, all things are possible. All things are possible. Come on, thank Him. Thank Him. All things are possible for me. Come on, you've got to make it personal. All things are possible for me. All things are possible for me. According to God's word, because I'm a believer, I'm not listening to the devil's lies. I'm not listening to the devil suggesting that God couldn't use me, that God wouldn't use me, that God wouldn't answer me. I'm not listening to the devil saying, I don't have faith and I don't have authority. He is a liar and He is the father of lies, but I belong to the truth. Hallelujah. I belong to the truth. Kuparazata parazata baya. Baparazata paralata bakalazita risatuba. Oh. Oh. Poralabazata parazata bakarazitoba. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. Puparazata parazata para. O paparazata paria. Leto bakarazata baranduma. Oh, come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Pura la bazata paria.
Who has believed our message? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Come on, tell the Lord that you're a believer. Oh, Lord, I'm a believer. I'm by your grace. I'm a believer. And I thank you, Lord, that the arm of you, of the Lord is revealed to me. And the arm of the Lord will be revealed to many others when I pray for them. Come on, tell them. Believe this, believe this. Now thank the Lord that you have the commission that he gives to every disciple to heal the sick. Not to pray for them, but to heal them. Jesus spent a lot of his time healing people. And all who came to him were healed, it said. I mean, that's a good thing to aim for, isn't it? That all who come get healed. All. I think that's worth aiming for, yes? Yes. Yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah. 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 Puparazatabara. So you've got the commission. You've got the authority, therefore. Because the authority goes with the call. You have the authority of the Lord himself. He is the one who is commanding you to heal the sick. So you've got his commission. You've got his authority. Amen. And you've got his power. Because you have received the Holy Spirit and his power is within you. So you've got the commission, you've got the authority, you've got the power. What more do you want? All that's left is to do it. Amen. So we're going to impart healing, or you are going to impart healing. It wouldn't help you if I just had some people forward and prayed for them and they got healed. You wouldn't have moved on in your own life. God wants to move you on this morning. Okay, so if you need healing in some way and you believe in I am now, and you say, yeah, right, well, now I'm going to receive healing from the Lord, then just raise your hand. Okay, now I want those of you, just keep your hands up a minute. I want those of you who don't have your hands raised to go and just surround. I don't want you to pray yet. I just want you to go to those whose hands are raised. So you've got two or three on, with each. Don't pray for Clive. Now, I'm not going to ask you to focus on the need and to talk about the need. That's the last thing in the world you want to do when you're believing healing. You start focusing on the need, somebody starts saying what's wrong. Listen, it doesn't matter what's wrong. What matters is you've got to be healed of what's wrong. So going into a whole lot of detail about it doesn't help. Right? Now, those of you who are praying and those you've been prayed with, just talk to one another now and see if there's an agreement of faith that the person being prayed for is going to receive now. Just express that. The person being prayed with needs to say, well, I believe I'm going to receive now. Those of you praying, I believe I'm going to impart now. But don't start the praying yet. Just see if there's this agreement of faith. That's what we want. We just want the agreement of faith. Okay. Now, listen carefully. I don't want any of you to pray for the person. I want you to impart to them. So you're not talking to God, you're talking in the name of Jesus to the person and to the sickness in the person or the need. So when you impart, you can lay hands on the person and say whatever. Receive now in the name of Jesus. The Lord pours his healing grace and power into your life now, into your body now, or whatever. But believe that's what's happening. It's no use doing it if you don't believe that it's going to happen. And the one who's being prayed with, you believe that that is what's happening. Now, whether you feel anything or not is not the point. Sometimes you feel, sometimes you don't. But that's not the point. The point is you believe that at that moment, because of this agreement of faith, you are receiving. So those who are doing the impartation, you believe you are imparting, that God is imparting. You're not doing it, but God is imparting, because you're simply doing this in his name and in obedience to his word, fulfilling his commission. And those being prayed with, you believe that you're receiving it from the Lord right now. So off you go. It'll only take about 30 seconds. Stop. When you impart, you always lay hands on the head. If you are just praying in a nice pally way, you can lay hands on the back, the shoulder, whatever. But if you are imparting in the name of the Lord, you start for the head, and everything flows from the head right the way down through the whole system. This is not a pally way of praying. You are imparting in the name of Jesus. Off you go. You don't need many words. Just keep your hand there, and you can just keep your hand there in silence, and the person can just know there is life and power is flowing through you right now. Right now. Praise God. Just be relaxed. Those of you being prayed with, be as relaxed as possible. The more relaxed you are, the easier to receive. Hallelujah. Now just thank the Lord together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, now, there's no time for us to do this all publicly, but those of you who have been prayed with, just tell those who prayed for you what you believe you've just received from the Lord. Okay, just before we finish, just hold your hands up before the Lord and say this: have hands, will heal. Amen. Praise God. What does the word say? Believers will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. It doesn't say anything about praying long prayers over them. It just says believers will lay hands on the sick. I mean, I've often seen people get up out of wheelchairs, haven't prayed for them, just laid hands, just touched them. They've been instantly healed. You see, do it the word way. It's not your prayers that matter. It's the power of God, right? Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank you for all that you've been doing. Thank you, Lord, for the faith that has been rising up within us. Thank you that we're going to see more and more demonstrations of your healing grace and power. We're going to see more signs and wonders. And thank you, Lord, that the word is going to spread all over this area of what people are able to see. Whenever we meet together, more and more will be seen, and more people will come to see what is being seen, and their lives will be touched by the life and power of God. And we give you all the glory. We give you all the honor and the praise. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.